Good afternoon to you. 306 here, News Talk 105.9 WMAL, where we're making sense of the news. Coming up, Sean Kennedy joins us, the president of Virginians for Safe Communities. We talk about another sexual assault, this time in a Fairfax County school bathroom. Sean has the latest on that shocking story. Mark Krikorian, 4 o'clock, will be here. We talk immigration with him. We have new data. The Biden administration dumped it on Friday, and there's a reason they dumped it on Friday. We'll talk to Mark about that. Mike Davis is here from the Article 3 Project at 4:30. Joe Biden caught mishandling classified documents again. Chuck Ross joins us at 5 o'clock. Do not miss this. A deep dive into an FBI scandal. A former high-level FBI official just arrested, indicted for colluding with the Russians. Chuck will have that. That's ahead. And Andy Ngo is here at 5:30. Man, we've got a lot to get to today. And you can join us at 888-630-9625, 888-630-WMAL. I'm going to be keeping an ear to the White House press briefing this hour because the White House stands accused yet again of mishandling classified documents. FBI, CNBC headline, FBI finds more classified documents in 13-hour search of Biden's home. 13-hour search of his home in Wilmington, Delaware. You'll know that he went to Rehoboth Beach this weekend. He's got many homes. He's a man of many homes. He went to Rehoboth Beach this weekend, and there were some questions going into the weekend. Why is he going to Rehoboth? Why isn't he going to Wilmington? And now we have the answer. FBI agents were spending a great deal of time hanging out inside the house, searching the home, and they found more classified documents. They say these documents include dating back to his time as both vice president and as a United States senator. In other words, Joe Biden stole classified information. This is not up for debate. Joseph Robinette Biden stole classified information from the United States government and kept it in his home and offices for decades. For decades. That is what we know. There's just so much we don't. But that is what we know. You know, it's interesting. I say the FBI, but that's not the way all of the coverage was reporting on this. So many places were reporting that the Justice Department conducted a search. And it is true, the FBI is a part of the Justice Department. But let's be more specific. The FBI was rifling through Biden's home and found 6 more items with classification markings at his personal Delaware residence after conducting this search. That's according to Biden's personal lawyer, Bob Bauer. So that's the Biden side of the equation revealing that detail. Biden's lawyers invited the Justice Department to conduct its thorough search of the Delaware property after classified materials were discovered at the Penn Biden Center on November 2nd and at Biden's Delaware house on December 20th, January 11th, and January 12th. So now this is the 5th such time that classified documents were found. Drip, 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 drip. Of course, Hunter Biden had the run of the place. Hunter Biden was all over that house in Delaware, hanging out in the Corvette. We don't know where these documents were found, but we do know apparently that they were. And this is the best possible spin on it because it's Biden's attorneys who are releasing this information. Now, I understand that it sounds like the White House is answering some questions about this right now. Let's take a listen. And of course, you can guess what this will be. We've been very prudent. I'm not going to say anything more. If you have any more questions, go to the White House counsel. Take a listen.
There's going to be a call in less than an hour or so from my White House counsel office. And look, they're going to answer the questions from here. Any specifics to the Department of Justice, any specifics to this particular legal matter, I would refer you to the Department of Justice. I'm going to continue to be prudent from here. I'm going to continue to be consistent. And make sure that those questions go to my colleagues in the White House counsel's office.
Another question on the documents. You have said, though, from this podium many, many times over the last 2 weeks that this president takes the handling of classified material very seriously. and yet we continue to learn about more documents being found and discovered.
Well, you see, that was a lie when I said it.
They go back decades to his time in the Senate. So why should the American people believe that this president takes classified material seriously and the handling of it?
Look, the president, the American people heard from the president directly on this when he was asked by your colleagues at least twice now about how he sees this process. And he was very clear. With the response of what we're currently seeing. And he says, I take this very seriously. He said, I didn't know that the documents were there. And look, I think as it relates to the American people and the president standing...
They're like falling out of his pocket. They're everywhere.
It is going to be up to them to decide how they see this president. Look, this is a president that came into office. 9 million people had lost their jobs. The unemployment rate was 6.3%, and hundreds of thousands of small businesses had closed.
And Biden's up to his neck in classified documents. Do you know how much work this guy has to deal with?
Nearly 11 million jobs. The unemployment rate is at a record low at 50-year record low. In the last 2 years were the best years for small businesses applications on record. We talked about that last week, just from here. The president has built the most significant legislative record since LBJ. Let's not forget, there's the Chips and Science Act, the bipartisan infrastructure legislation. I just walked through what he's going to see next week.
$32 trillion in debt.
To Baltimore and also New York City. The Inflation Reduction Act,
which won't reduce inflation.
So the president has been in office for the last 2 years focusing on the American people. And, you know, we saw that. We saw what the American people had to say during the midterms. As it relates, again, as it relates to this, as it relates to this ongoing legal matter, I would refer you to
the Department of Justice.
My colleagues at the White House Counsel. Again, they're going to be speaking with all of you in just less than an hour or so.
But I do want to ask one more time, because you have been the one messaging that he takes this seriously. You have also been saying over and over again that you are cooperating fully with this investigation.
That hasn't changed, Mary.
But given that, why then did it take several searches and the FBI coming in to uncover the full extent of the documents at his house?
I understand your question. I've said many times, the president has said many times, he takes this very seriously. You've heard directly from him. You just said that his team is cooperating fully. And just want to add, you know, and you heard from his team that the FBI was invited into the president's home.
Come on in.
I'm not going to go beyond that. That was in the statement that was released on Saturday. Again, these are questions.
They sent beautiful invites
that have been answered
with nice return envelopes.
You know, that have been answered from here. That has been answered for my colleagues. Anything else? My colleague's going to speak to all of you in just a few minutes, a few moments, and you can ask.
You know, this riff on it was a consensual search and they were invited. If you were listening earlier to WMAL, the great Dan Bongino was going over some of the details here, and he indicated that if they had actually drawn up a search warrant, they would have had to lay out publicly the evidence they have against Biden that would justify the search warrant. So the last thing Biden's attorneys want is a search warrant being drawn up. So they're trying to get out ahead of this by saying, yeah, just go rifle through the house.
To make sure that the American people understand. And I just refer...
American people might question that, given that you keep every few days, it seems we are finding that more documents have been found at his house.
What I'm telling you is what the president has said, which is he takes this very seriously. I will refer you to detailed explanations from statements that have come from his from his personal lawyer.
Seriously.
Again, anything further on this, my colleague...
Biden seriously takes documents. I think that's what she meant to say. He doesn't take documents seriously.
Ron told the president that he's leaving, planning to leave.
Don't have anything further to share. And just to be very clear, Ron Klain is still very much the chief of staff. He is still here with us. Just don't have anything to share.
Does the president think Jeff Zients would be a good chief of staff?
Steve Holland, do you want to be chief of staff? I think I hear a name. Okay. Someone just called you out.
All right, we'll keep an ear to that. But what they're talking, of course, about is the fact that Ron Klain is reported to be on the way out as the White House chief of staff. He's had quite enough, and he's living at an interesting time. The White House in the throes of the most sincere scandal they've had to deal with, because, of course, when the press finally decides to dig its teeth into something, then you can actually consider it a scandal. Never mind the ongoing crises on our border, the collapsing economy, out of control prices for things as simple as eggs. Never mind any of that. The baby formula shortage. Never mind any of that. flights being grounded nationwide for the first time since 9/11, fentanyl killing over 100,000 Americans a year. Never mind any of that. No, it is is when Joe Biden had mishandled classified documents dating back to the time of being a United States senator, the media begins to pay attention. So now this is a big scandal, of course, in the eyes of the media. And that's when Ron Klain decides to duck out. So when the going gets tough, the Klain gets going. He's out. He's leaving. And so they say they want to bring in Jeff Zients. That's the reporting from the weekend. You'll remember Jeff Zients was the COVID coordinator. You'll also remember Jeff Zients from such things as Facebook board member. He also was an employee at Bain Capital. Remember how the left used to hate Bain Capital for vulture capitalism when Mitt Romney was running for president of the United States? Jeff Zients, of course, was a Bain Capital guy. And also, again, a Facebook board member, in addition to his many other roles in corporate America. And now he's expected to become the next White House chief of staff. You do have to wonder, because you're the chief of staff, you're kind of in charge of who's there and who's not. How long does Corinne stay when you get a new chief of staff? Are they going to keep her around so we keep getting answers like this? This is live, by the way. I'm going to cut to it right now, and she's probably going to be saying something stupid.
Other critical programs. And let's not forget, these critical programs have already been paid into.
I'm hoping.
Are programs for veterans,
don't
for
let me
seniors,
down, woman.
And taxpayers. This is what they're talking about taking away from these really critical programs for critical groups here.
Good.
So President Biden will never allow Republicans to cut benefits that our hardworking Americans have earned. This is what they have earned. So, but I'll also note, as it relates to Senator Manchin and to your question.
Okay, anyway, whatever. But she said critical a bunch of times, so I think I get the points for that. The point here is that there's a lot of upheaval going on, and you have people, namely Ron Klain at this point, jumping ship in the midst of all of this. So we'll see what happens next there. But they've got quite a task over in that White House communications shop trying to talk a rep about all of this. You had this morning Biden advisor Ian Sams, who I believe was Kamala Harris's spokesman back during the presidential campaign days. And he was on with Morning Joe and Morning Mika, and this is what he had to say.
Okay, Ian, are there any possibilities that there are documents at other locations owned or used by President Biden in the past?
So the president's personal lawyers and DOJ are in communication, and they're making sure that they're coordinated on the next steps of this investigation. Look, we're going to be really careful not to talk about potential future steps and developments in the investigation itself, because we respect the independence of DOJ to conduct this thoroughly and fairly on their own accord. And so I'm just not going to get ahead of that process in questions like that.
Okay, so there's a possibility.
So that's a yes. In other words, there are more documents likely to come. I don't want to get ahead of anybody. This is a change in tone. Remember last week they were claiming that they completed the search, that there was nothing else to find. There was nothing else to find. Remember this?
The search is clearly complete. They completed the search. The search is complete. He is confident in this process. You should assume that it's been completed, yes. After the search concluded last night, that search was completed last night.
Yeah, it was completed last night. She said that. I believe that is now 2 weeks ago. That's when they were claiming that these document searches were complete. There's nothing else to find. And sure enough, they keep coming out. Ian Sam saying today on Morning Joe, I don't want to get ahead of any new classified documents appearing. Here is on MSNBC, a woman by the name of Alicia Menendez asking Ian Sams for more information here.
Can you give us a sense of how many classified documents we are now talking about total across all three locations?
Sure. It's a good question. And actually, the answer to it is a little bit complicated because of this point that I'm making about the integrity of an ongoing Justice Department investigation. The Justice Department is going to be looking at all sorts of questions like that throughout their investigation. We want to be very, very careful to be respectful of the integrity of that investigation, to not speak too much about the underlying contents and materials, especially things that we may not know all the answers.
Yeah, we don't know how many documents. It's somewhere between one and bajillion, just to ballpark it for you. Alicia Menendez, by the way, just in case you're wondering, is Senator Bob Menendez, corrupt senator from New Jersey. That's his daughter hosting on MSNBC. What a town.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts,
interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
Former Navy SEAL Sean Ryan shares real stories from real people from all walks of life on The Sean Ryan Show. Comedian John Crist.
How long have you been in Nashville? Let's see, 2018 is when I moved here. I lived in an apartment. I didn't know anything about it. I lived in L.A.
You were living in L.A.? How was that?
Yeah. Well, let's see. Good for my career. Send me to rehab, though. So that's pretty much the sum of it.
The Sean Ryan Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.
Let's take some phone calls. We have line four, Laura, calling in from Haymarket now. Laura, you're on the Vince Colanay Show.
Hi, Vince. Thank you for taking my call.
Yes.
So I wanted to give some or ask some pointers or something towards the White House press briefing. The reporters in there who are wasting all of Americans' time. If they could just ask a question, if they could just look at the diversity hire and ask her, who's lying? Is it Joe Biden, the FBI, or you? Which one? Mm-hmm. It's one of you. Which one? That's all we need an answer to. Who's lying? And why is Joe Biden's house in Wilmington searched, but not Rehoboth?
Yeah.
And why is a Biden defender not searched yet?
What was that last question?
Weird. And why is the Biden Center, why was that not searched?
Right.
That was the very first place with the documents.
Right.
I don't know.
Yeah, now remember the early reporting on this, Laura, was that the FBI wasn't doing the searching because they wanted to save that just in case things got more intense. Really? That doesn't make any sense to me. Why would you would let the defendant like dirty up the crime scene? Like, you wouldn't actually conduct the search? And sure enough, now they're doing a search in one location but not the rest? What, that doesn't make sense at all, does it?
Well, I think Xi Jinping is very proud of Joe Biden. That's all I have to say. I mean, the CCP has nothing on Joe Biden. It's just, this is insane.
Yeah,
they have everything in front of us.
Yeah.
They do. But it's right in front of us. Like, he just got a prosecutor fired again during Christmas. I mean, like, how much more does this guy get to get away with?
Right.
Where's our press corps? If I could have 5 minutes in the White House press briefing, just 5 minutes. Give me 5 minutes just to ask a real question. Please,
yeah.
please.
Yeah. Yeah, she wouldn't call on you. That's the only problem. You'd be able to figure out a way, but you'd get in there and then Corinne would avoid you like the plague. Laura, thank you, because you want to ask real questions. I really appreciate it. Thank you for the call. But to Laura's point, I have been thinking, you know, what is the seminal moment here? What was the moment where the Biden's personal attorneys realized, oh, crap, we got to go rifle through the Penn Biden Center right now and get these documents? And this is before the election, right? Before they ever thought it would be made public. We now know that the Justice Department and the Biden administration, according to both the New York Times and the Washington Post last week, thought that they would be able to maintain a cover-up of all of this. They thought this, they would never have to go public with this. And then a CBS News reporter apparently kind of blew their cover in the last week or so, or a couple weeks ago now, when all this classified document information started coming out. But what was the initiating sequence to go to the Penn Biden Center and to pick up these documents? They claim they were movers, please. They sent lawyers specifically to find the documents. What led to that? Well, presumably they were tipped off that this was about to become a problem for them. So then send in the lawyers, right? You're not sending in government attorneys, you're sending in personal attorneys. So that's interesting. And remember, the FBI has been apparently investigating Hunter Biden now for years, they claim. They say they've been looking into him for years, everything, his foreign business dealings, his taxes, lying on gun background checks. They've got a copy of his laptop. They've had it since December of 2019. Is there any chance the Hunter Biden investigation led to this finding? Wait a second, guys. Hunter had access to all of these classified documents? Somebody better tell the president, and quick, this needs to be cleaned up. And now we've got a very interesting scandal developing. Very interesting. All right, coming up, we're going to be chatting with Sean Kennedy. Get an update on Northern Virginia. Unfortunately, yet another sexual assault in schools there. Parents are furious. Sean Kennedy with details. Well, good afternoon to you. It is 3:36 here, News Talk 105.9 WMAL, where we are making sense of the news. Coming up today, Mark Krikorian joins us at 4 o'clock. We talk about the border. Mike Davis is here at 4:30. We talk Biden and classified documents. Chuck Ross is here, 5 o'clock. More corruption at the FBI. A big-time FBI agent just arrested and charged for colluding with foreign powers. Andy Ngo is with us at 5:30. We talk about the race attack in California. That wasn't a race attack, but didn't stop the media from making such a claim. And we'll chat with you today at 888-630-9625, 888-630-WMAL. We have been patiently awaiting more details about a sex assault that took place earlier this month, allegedly, in a middle school in Fairfax County. The school is Frost Middle School, and it was January 12th where a young woman was allegedly sexually assaulted in a bathroom at that school. We found out last week because the school district, Fairfax County, claims that it just found out last Thursday about this. That would be the 19th, a week later, and then made the information available to the parents and to the public. Fairfax County Police are investigating. For more on this, we bring in our next guest. It's Sean Kennedy. He's the president of Virginians for Safe Communities, and he joins us now. Sean, good to have you with us, sir.
Thank you for having me.
This is a frustrating story because it sounds like police have yet to identify a suspect.
Well, actually, we actually know something new. WTOP reported that it was a student. So either their sources in the police department are speaking out, or we can confirm that it was another student, which raises even more questions. As I think you know, Vince, if you read and parse that email from the administrators at the middle school, they in no way say that it's another student. They almost imply by the omission that there is some at-large perpetrator out there, some man in a windowless van stalking middle school girls. But we think now, according to police sources that spoke to WTOP, that it was another student, which the fact that they didn't just say the suspect is unknown is also bullpucky.
But what I'm referring to, this is very old news, this element of it, that a student is believed to have committed the assault. I say old in relative terms. It is from, the 20th that we had that. That was on Saturday. Friday. So what we have now but it's still apparently unknown because nobody's telling us what student. We haven't gotten any updates whatsoever from Fairfax County. They haven't indicated that a student's in custody. They haven't indicated that the student has been removed from the general population, that they've identified the student. So there are a lot of unanswered questions here.
Absolutely. And unfortunately, we know from things that have gone public that this is endemic to Fairfax County schools. Obviously, we know of the problems nearby in Loudoun, but one of the things that happens every year is the Department of Education of Virginia requires that county school systems report the number of sex incidents, assaults, and other offenses on campus to the state. And in those reports, both Loudoun and Fairfax have been zeroed out. Fairfax has hundreds of thousands of students, and Loudoun has tens of thousands of students, and there were no incidents whatsoever.
That's not even possible.
And it's not even possible. And they reported in the year that Scott Smith's daughter was assaulted, zero. They said there were none. They are lying, and I know from sources within the police department here in Fairfax that Fairfax is lying and has been lying for years, and that's because the FCPD, the Fairfax County Police, who show up at those crime scenes, know that that was a sex assault that should have been reported. Even if that there weren't charges laid, it's still an offense that has to be logged, and they're hiding the ball because they don't want to be held liable for these problems. And why this is so critical is just last year, the U.S. Supreme Court allowed a lawsuit against Fairfax County Schools for a rape that occurred in 2017 on a Fairfax County school trip by another student to proceed. They let the lawsuit proceed, and the lawsuit is against the county school board because they failed to investigate the report of a sexual assault. They did exactly what we're afraid they could be doing here.
Which is why I'm skeptical even of the timeline here. You know, sometimes a school doesn't find out about an incident like this for a week, and then when they do, then they can mobilize to handle it. But I'm not even convinced that Fairfax County just found out last Thursday. That's what they're claiming here publicly. But who knows, honestly, at this point, because the actual assault is apparently took place on January 12th, and it wasn't until a week later that the school district started saying anything.
Yeah, it's bullpucky, and they're just using that as cover. And of course, if you don't know this, in Fairfax and across the state of Virginia, but it's particularly bad here in Fairfax and Loudoun, when you commit a FOIA, when you put in a public records request, they get to charge you for the cost of producing it. So they make it prohibitive for you to actually go about getting the files and documents, because they'll say it costs tens of thousands or even hundreds of thousands of dollars in manpower to produce a document, meaning that they'll bankrupt you to get the one smoking gun email. So they know, unless you know exactly what you're looking for, you can't afford to find out. And that means that Fairfax County is immune from public oversight.
Yeah, that's just outrageous. How much do you think Fairfax County's behavior is influenced by the fact that, meaning disclosing this publicly at least, is influenced by the fact that Jason Meares and Glenn Youngkin have taken a hard line on Loudoun County?
Well, I absolutely think that this is a sea change in Richmond, that now there is a microscope under them. And obviously Glenn Youngkin and Jason Meares were elected because of some of the outrage here. And obviously they overperformed in Northern Virginia. They didn't outright win, but they did much better than expected, largely because of the parent revolt post-COVID related to these school issues. And one of the things I'll tell you is somebody who was a higher up in a previous administration in the education department told me that under the structure of the State Department of Education, incidents like this that even get to Richmond can be hidden from the secretary by the bureaucrats who act as gatekeepers. So even if there is a problem, the Youngkin administration wouldn't even know about it until somebody took a step out of line and went to them and running the bureaucracy. So problems like this can persist if the bureaucrats are part of the conspiracy.
So in other words, like state education bureaucrats have been covering up sexual assaults in order to protect their own careers, thus endangering children into the future?
Well, could well be. We know that the numbers are clearly on face wrong. There are not that few number of sex offenses as being reported in the Department of Education. And that should have set up red flags, because statistically it's laughable on face that so few, zero, are occurring in these jurisdictions. And then, you know, small little counties in southwestern Virginia reporting five or six, and Fairfax has zero. So the bureaucrats just are looking the other way at the very least, and they certainly aren't reporting up the chain because they don't want the scrutiny onto their allies.
Mike Carruthers shares little pieces of intel and interviews you can use to improve your life on the Something You Should Know podcast.
The next time you're looking for a job and have to write a cover letter, here's some advice from Skip Freeman, author of a book called Headhunter's Hiring Secrets. Add a P.S. to the bottom of that cover letter. That can actually increase the chances of that letter being read by up to 75%. Some people actually glance down and read the P.S. first.
Something You Should Know. Search on YouTube or wherever you listen.
To run either the school boards or administer these schools in the form of a superintendent. So they are conceivably blocking access to this information. But now that Youngkin and Meares are making hay of every little scandal, and I don't mean to diminish them as not significant, but now they know they better not, you know, open the can of worms, because if they do get exposed, heads are going to roll and careers are going to be destroyed. So yes, they better do their job.
And this is, by the way, this is all the logical conclusion of these soft on crime leftists who try and say there should be no consequences for any heinous behavior, whether it's in school or out of school. This is what you end up with. You end up with sexual assaults inside of classrooms that are unaccounted for. There are no consequences. The idea is, well, maybe if we're forgiving, that'll fix things. And in the meantime, we can cover up for our own failures by not addressing this in a meaningful way. And it is a deeply toxic and destructive pattern that we're seeing play out, unfortunately, in the schools.
Absolutely. I mean, the schools are the tip of the spear. There were obviously child victims are most vulnerable.
Yeah.
But we've seen time and time again here in Fairfax that even victims that are abused outside of schools don't get justice. And one of the things that I think is the problem when we talk about soft on crime prosecutors is we like to think about Philadelphia or Los Angeles, these high crime, high violent areas. And you go, oh, well, Fairfax isn't that dangerous or isn't that bad and loud. And, you know, they're safe. So what do you care? That doesn't mean that people don't deserve justice, and people who are abusers and victimizers don't deserve every minute of jail that they're owed. And the fact that any of these families, that a family a couple of years ago had to sue to try to get a plea deal overturned because the abuser was given 3 years. There's another case every other week where one of these families, where, yes, these aren't, you know, mass shootings or violent gang things, but these are families that are being destroyed by these crimes and they need justice. There is currently a family, and I'll tell you this, I don't know if you saw this yet, Vince, but there's currently a family suing Steve Descano, the Fairfax prosecutor, personally for civil rights violations for dropping the ball on their son's case where he was sexually abused as an 11-year-old.
Right.
And get this, they're going to depose him. The judge granted last Friday the right to depose Steve Descano. He has to sit under oath and answer questions from a lawyer about what he did and what he does. He is going to sweat like nobody's business because what he's done to these victims is unacceptable, and he's going to have to answer for it, and I'm so glad to hear about that.
Yeah, that is a big deal, although it is interesting. His evidence, records of his work may be hard to come by, even with a subpoena, because we see this reporting out of ABC 7 that Fairfax County Commonwealth Attorney Steve Descano has been using an encrypted messaging service to conduct his official business. In other words, trying to preclude people from having access to his work, which is supposed to be for the public's benefit. You talk about open records. Steve Descano seems to be doing everything he can to avoid the public knowing what he's doing in that job.
Yes, and we filed a bar complaint against him for this because this is unethical behavior, dishonest, and it constitutes deceit to try to obscure FOIA records requests and hide what's going on. The good news, Vince, is Steve Descano has made so many enemies, including his own staff, that we know about these things, and we have some of the records that he's tried to destroy so that we can prove what he's up to. So we may not know the whole picture, but the people closest to him hate him more than anyone else, and that is the only good piece of news here, is that Steve Descano is not going to get away with it because the people closest to him are going to be the ones to get the rope.
I noticed that that's the trend among these so-called reform-minded prosecutors, people like Buddha Bibarai in Loudoun County and Steve Descano in Fairfax County. They engender a lot of discontent on their own staffs to the point that people who thought they were coming in to serve the public interest, to actually prosecute criminals, are instead losing morale and leaving those offices. High turnover, creating more problems for the citizens of those counties as crimes go unprosecuted.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to use a funny example, one of his top deputies, and I don't know him personally, and won't speak either way about him, is now running for the Prince William County Commonwealth Attorney as a Republican. So the wheel has fully turned, where a top deputy Descano is now running as a Republican. So he's unwoken himself, I assume. But that means, you know, there's a lot of people who came into this, maybe true believers, but when they saw it up close and personal, they left disgusted. And that's what's going on in the schools. That's what's going on in the prosecutor's offices, is that people, when they get close to this and they see this agenda and how it works up close, they're like, this is not what I signed up for.
No. No, not at all. Sean Kennedy, thanks for constantly keeping your eyes on all of this in Virginia and holding all these guys accountable. It's a really important public service. We're grateful for your time today.
Thank you so much.
All right, that's Sean Kennedy, president of Virginians for Safe Communities. Stand by. I do have audio of Peter Ducey tangling with Karine Jean-Pierre just moments ago. I'll bring that to you.
Hey, Peter.
Thank you, Karine. When you found out that the FBI had located even more classified materials in Wilmington, which four-letter word did you use?
Oh my goodness, Peter.
President Biden is still intending to run for re-election in 2024, right?
I'll just repeat what the president said after the midterm election, which is he intends to run. I'm going to be very careful from here, as you know, because we are covered by the Hatch Act, and I'm not going to speak further to his process.
Is there a precedent for people running for president after FBI agents search their sock drawer?
Say that one more time. Say that beginning part.
Is there a precedent for people running for president after FBI
It sounds like you already know that the answer to that question. Look, here's what I
don't
here's
know the answer to no, that question.
Here's
FBI search of a president's residence is a big deal.
Here's what the president's going to focus on. He's going to focus on continuing to deliver for the American people. That's his focus. That's what he focuses on every day. That's what he's been focusing on the last 2 years. And nothing is going to change that. You think about the bipartisan infrastructure legislation. You think about the Inflation Reduction Act.
Who
thinks
about
that? You think about the CHIPS and Science Act. The bipartisan one, the last two that I mentioned, done in a bipartisan way. That's what the president wants to do. He wants to continue to deliver on his economic plan that is going to build the economy from the bottom up, middle out. And that is what matters to the president.
The House Oversight Committee chairman says this document situation has all the makings of a potential cover-up. Is President Biden involved in a cover-up?
Yes. Yes.
We've been very clear here from this administration. The president has been very clear.
Has she been also consistent and prudent?
That he takes this very seriously when it comes to classified information, when it comes to classified documents, and that his team has been fully cooperative with this legal matter. Mm-hmm. Anything else, Peter? I'm going to be very serious. You asked me kind of a question that everybody laughed at, which was interesting question to ask. But any other underlying questions that you may have, I would refer you to my colleagues, the White House counsel. I'm going to continue to be prudent. I'm going to continue to be consistent and refer you to any questions you have there. Yeah, Joe.
That's funny. She's prudent and she's consistent. She's nothing if not consistent. She's telegraphing those punches so far away, I can see them coming. Like, hey, you're prudent and consistent. So that's Peter Ducey today. Smart on his part, though. He put some thought into that. What was the four-letter word you used when you found out there were more classified documents? She didn't even know how to answer. It's pretty spectacular. Yeah, the Daily Mail has some new reporting on this subject, too. They say over the weekend that the Biden team apparently was moving these classified documents from location to location to location. They were all over the place before they were stored at the Penn Biden Center for Diplomacy and Global Engagement, which is another way of saying the money laundering operation known as the Penn Biden Center for Diplomacy and Global Engagement. And now back in the hands of the government. They say the documents included yet another stopover, a temporary facility in the nation's capital, a source tells the Daily Mail. The documents were moved in the summer of 2017 after spending about 6 months at a government transition office near the White House once Biden left the vice presidency. The space in D.C.'s Chinatown neighborhood. Oh, there's China again. All right, I'm just kidding, Chinatown. Or am I? China. Chinatown was overseen by the Penn Biden Center while its prized location near the Capitol was being readied. How about that? The Penn Biden Center taking millions from China, storing Biden's documents in Chinatown. Who is writing the script for this? Hang on. Mark Krikorian joins us next to talk about a real big Biden scandal. That would be our collapsing southern border. More information coming out Friday on that subject.
Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.